Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5. I guess I should have just preached a series through Ephesians because that's what we've been in for quite a bit. And I like Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And several times we've talked about kind of what Paul was saying in two prayers, one in chapter 3 and one in chapter 1, that you may comprehend the love of God, that you may know the different things you are in Christ. We did that a couple of times. I want to give you something today and draw this out a little bit if we can, and try to be a help to you a little bit tonight. On I titled the message something a little bit strange to you, but you'll understand as we go, being a supermodel. Being a supermodel. And I thought about that because really I want to be a supermodel of who Christ is and who God is and the aspects of God. And so I've got two diagrams I want to do up, one for men. You can see him there, and one for the ladies. You can see her on the other side. And so I'm going to do something to try to help us a little bit with that. Ephesians chapter 5, watch kind of what it says here for us as far as children of God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then go with me down to verse number 8. Kind of get you to get the idea that we're supposed to be an example, really walking in love like Christ did, being followers of God as dear children, being molded like our Father. In verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So our walk, our relationship, the way we walk, the way we carry ourselves, the things we do, it should be proving to this world just what Christianity is all about. That's what we should be walking as children of light. We used to be in darkness, now we're light. We should be walking like children of light. And so I want to kind of give you a thought tonight, maybe a help to you on this, about the three responsibilities of a man and the responsibilities of a wife or of a woman. So the first one I want to give you is the three responsibilities of a man. And you can try to mark these or write it or draw this if you want to in your Bibles. But a man has three responsibilities as far as modeling or trying to present something about an aspect of Christianity. He has three responsibilities. Now you can find several others. I'm just giving you three that I think are important for us today. Three responsibilities that a man has. And many of these things you're going to see as you see this. A man is modeling something. There are things that are going on in this world that we do in Christianity that are actually modeling something that's taking place higher than us. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about here. So the first responsibility he has is a man has a responsibility to his wife. A man has a responsibility to his wife. And how his wife sees the man is going to make a difference in how she sees God, how she sees Christ, how she sees the things of God, how a wife sees a man. Let's look at that. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. We're just looking there. And look with me down really quickly at verse number 25. Husbands, watch this now. Husbands, love your what? Wives, as Christ also loved the what? And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The first responsibility they've got is the way the wife looks at the man, the way that the husband loves his wife. It should tell the wife something about, and it should be a model to everybody of how Christ loves the church. So that's one of the things you're modeling. Husband and wife relationship, this relationship right here for the whole family and anybody watching, what they're seeing when they see how a husband loves his wife, they're seeing a model of how Christ loves the church. We're modeling something. Everywhere we go, we're modeling something in this world. People are watching your marriages, watching your relationships. And if they were to know anything, that's the reason why I think God set it up this way. He's trying to show people things about himself. And so what he does, he has a marriage and he puts a connection here for the marriage to say, listen, this marriage of a husband and a wife is just like Christ loved the church. So I've preached this to you before. You know what this woman should see in her husband? You know what she should see to him? She should see that he leads her just like Christ leads the church. He doesn't drive the church. You don't see him beating the church. You see him leading the church and loving the church, right? So the way that a husband, the way the wife should see her husband, the model that, we should be seeing in a husband and wife relationship is that that husband leads his wife like Christ leads the church. You say, what else he should be doing? The model that you're supposed to be seeing here is that man should be loving his wife the way Christ loved the church. Well, let me say this. I'll love my wife the way that Christ loved the church when she starts loving me. What did I say to you this morning? We love him because he first loved us. It's on him to move first. Him to move first. So if I'm going to be like Christ, and I'm going to model for you to see my relationship with my wife, it ought to be that I am showing the love towards her even first. I've got to show it. Leading, loving, what else? I've preached this to you before, maybe another one. Listening to your wife the way Christ listens to the church. You know what the Bible says? We can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help and mercy in the time of need. Anytime we want to come to the Lord, we can come to Him any time, and He's always available and He always wants to listen, right? That's the way, what we should be modeling is, men, what we should be modeling so that everybody sees it, and our wives should definitely see it. Our wives should be able to look at us and be able to say, now that's the way Christ loves the church. And what everybody else should be able to do is look at your relationship with your wife and say, what a beautiful picture of the way Christ loves the church. Loves the church, leaves, listens. I'll give you another one. I've done this several times before, but He's long-suffering. How many of you are glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is long-suffering with us? Otherwise, none of us would be here. We'd all be dead, right? So I'm glad. I'm pretty glad that He's long-suffering towards us. So you know what the picture should be here? Men, we should be long-suffering towards our wives. It means we're putting up with, if you say, well, you're not living in my house. Well, let me tell you something. You're probably pretty hard to deal with when it comes to Christ dealing with you, right? And so I think we can love them the way Christ loved us. So it can be a picture. It's a picture of all that. So we're forming some kind of picture. Let me give you another one. I've given you this before, but in Romans chapter 8, you get down to the very end of it, Paul made this statement. He said, I am persuaded that life or death, no principalities of power, death, life, nothing shall be able to separate me from what? The love of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what your wife should know about you? There is no way on earth that you're ever going to leave or forsake her. She's to know that. She's to get that. And let me tell you what that is. What you're doing when you do that, you are a super model of Christ and the church. You're a model of Christ and the church. And people should be able to see your marriage and say, you know what? That marriage reminds me of how Christ loves the church, how that husband loves that wife. So we're talking about the men, his responsibility to his wife. Let me give you the second responsibility he's got. The man's got a responsibility to his children. The man's got a responsibility to his children. How his children see him is a model of something. You know what it is? It's a model of how they should see the father. The father. How they see their earthly father many times is how people see their heavenly father. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter number 6. Looking at Ephesians chapter number 6. And then look at verse number 4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So listen, the way it should work in a home is the father's not trying to provoke the children to wrath. He's not dealing with them in a way that it calls them to be angry and wrathful towards each other or towards God or towards them. That should not be the way it's working in the home. In fact, what it should be is it should be nurture and admonition. What do those two words mean? What is nurture? Nurture just means this. Food, nourishment, growth, and instruction. So the father in the home, what the father should be doing, the father should be modeling what it's like to have a heavenly father. And what these kids should learn from them is that I get my instruction and my nourishment from my earthly father, so I should also get my instruction and my nourishment from my heavenly father. You're painting a picture in your home. And these kids, look, these kids are learning how to respect and even use this word fear, reverence, their earthly father. Folks, if they don't know how to fear, reverence, or respect their earthly father, they're never going to learn how to respect a heavenly father. So they got to learn that in the home. And that's the father is modeling that with the children, nourishing and admonition. What's admonition? We're giving food, instruction, nourishment, growth, but the admonition is gentle reproof or counsel against a fault. So the father in the home, what the father should be doing is modeling exactly how God is with us. You know what God does for us? God nourishes us, God feeds us, God instructs us, and watch this now. When I step out of line, you know what He does? He chastens those that He loves. And that's what our kids should be learning. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:5, it says, "And ye have forgotten," and it says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Meaning you're not His. You don't belong to Him. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh." See the picture He's painting? He's connecting you to earthly fathers or like heavenly fathers. He said, "We've had fathers after our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to our Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." You know what these kids are learning when they're in a home? You say, an abusive home? No, a home that chastises, that corrects when somebody's off. You know what they're learning? They're learning how to be obedient to a heavenly Father. And I told you this before in this class that I was taking, that what they did is they started going to churches and they started asking people at one point to write down exactly what your relationship was like with your earthly father. Then they came back a long time later to the same people and asked them to write down how they saw God the Father. And I told this before, the way it came out was the people that wrote originally, "My earthly father was, he worked a lot. He was a good man. He worked a lot. He was always gone." And when they came back and asked him about God the Father, the way they saw and thought about God the Father is, God the Father, he's very busy. He's way up there, and he's very busy, and he's got a lot going on, so he might not answer the things that. And they had a different idea, or somebody that didn't have a father that just gave him anything, maybe just gave him anything. There was no rules. Those people have a idea of God as being kind of like a pawpaw that just gives you whatever you want. There is no correcting. Or if they were raised in a home where it was abusive or it was hard or it was unbalanced, what they begin to see about God was that God is abusive or hard. He's just looking for an opportunity to nail you if you get out of line. And people have those views. You say, well, where did that view come from of who God is? That came from seeing the pattern, the model of what an earthly father is. And so we've got a responsibility as men, when we're being fathers, is we've got to paint a picture of what our Heavenly Father really is. That's what we do. So he's got a responsibility to his wife. He's got a responsibility to his children. And the last responsibility he's got is to the world. All these people are watching him. Now, this one's watching him. That one's watching him. And all these people are watching him. And if you, anywhere you go, whether it's a restaurant, driving down the road, whether it's while you're at work, whether it's while you're on deployment, while you're TDY somewhere, off someplace, somebody says, well, what happens on TDY stays on TDY. I'm telling you, somebody's watching you. Amen. Somebody's watching your life and getting an idea. You know what they're getting an idea of? The world is getting an idea of what an obedient child of God is like. They're getting a picture of what Jesus is like. You know, I tell you what Jesus said in John 8:29. He says, "And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." I do always those things that please him. You know what the people should be seeing in you? They should be seeing somebody that's always doing what pleases the Father. Those people should see in you a child of God that's trying to please the Father. That's what they should see. The Bible says, you know this, I read it to you this morning in Matthew 5:14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may light be giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's what people should see. They should see you and glorify your God. Being a super model. Being a model. And so as men, being a model. Let me give you the second one. So you men don't feel like you're out of place let's talk about the ladies for just a little bit. All right, get all your ladies to wake up. Here's what you can do now. You have three responsibilities as well. You have a responsibility to your husband. Ladies do. And you've got a responsibility to your children. Ladies do. And you've got a responsibility to the world as well. You're also painting a picture. Just like the husband, when someone sees a good marriage, they'll say, well, that must be like how Christ loves the church. Look how patient and how good and kind, loving and leading and all that stuff he is with her. What a picture of Christ in the church. That's what it should be. You say, well, I'm not that. Well, this is not a message to say how bad you are. This is a message to say, all right, now let's start doing something in the future. So you're a picture. You're a picture. And we're a picture of God the Father with our children. The same thing is true about the wives. Let's see what it says. Look at in Ephesians chapter 5 again. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church, watch this now, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in some things. That's what it says, right? Nobody wants to say everything. You're thinking, oh, man, what? I didn't see that before. In everything. In everything. And so, let me say what you're a picture of. Just like this was a picture of Christ and the church, this is a picture of Christ and the church. But you know what your responsibility is? You're showing how the church submits to Christ. How the church submits himself or submits ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, everybody shouted amen for the men a while ago. But right now, the men would, but the men are scared that their wives are going to get them. Now, you say, well, I don't really like this idea. Well, that's because our society has warped our minds about a lot of things. But the idea, biblical idea is, you know, we're painting a picture. We're painting a picture. Everybody always runs to the extremes of, well, my husband's abusive and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I've already told you what we expect the husband to be. But I am telling you that if you're going to be the model that he made you to be a model, then that model should be that just like the church is in subjection to Christ, the wives should be in subjection to their husbands. That's the way it should be. Can I tell you something? We don't run the show. Who runs the show? Christ runs the show. Who's the head of the church? You say, Pastor Knight, nope, I'm not the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Christ is the head of the church. What do? We do what Christ tells us to do. And we follow him obediently. That's what we do. And that's what this thing says here. And so the idea here is, let me give you another verse in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Watch this. Listen to this carefully now. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Watch this next phrase. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. I want you to think about something for a minute. The woman was created to be a help meet for her husband, right? Remember it said it was not good for a man to be alone? And I shout amen right there. I think it's right. It isn't good for me to be alone. I like having a wife. I've got a good one. I love my wife. All right, so the idea, it wasn't good for him to be alone, so he created a help meet for him. What does that mean? It's a help that's meet, which means good or suitable for him. That's what it means. See, we always make the word help meet, but it's a help meet for him. And so it was a help that would be good and be helpful for him. And let me tell you what we are, the church. Watch this now. We are supposed to be a help to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do. Is that right? You better get with me and say amen a little bit with me. That's what we do, right? Christ said, here's the idea, folks. We're going to go into all the world. We're going to preach the gospel to every creature. And the church says, yes, sir, let's go, right? We're going to support it. That's what a family's supposed to be doing. The husband's supposed to be a good, godly leader. And the wife's supposed to be saying, let's follow. Let's follow. It supports. But unfortunately, you've read these verses before in Proverbs. Proverbs 21:19, it says this. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. You've heard that verse before. I've talked to you about it before. Proverbs 21:9, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Can you tell you what the problem would be? There would be a severe problem if you said, well, listen, folks, the church is fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a problem? hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is even welcome in that church. Wouldn't that be a problem? In Revelation chapter number 3, remember, they're saying we have need of nothing. We're good on our own. And where's Jesus? He's outside knocking on the door saying, if any man will just let me in, I'll come in and sup with him. You know what that was? That was a church that said, I have no need for the groom. I have no need for him in my life. I can do this all on my own. I've got it all figured out. I don't want a leader leading me. Now, folks, let me tell you, that's easy for you to go, oh, me, with something like that. Let me tell you something. In a home, it can be just as out of balance when the wife says, I'm running the show here, and says, husband, we don't have any need for you. And he's outside going, if you would just let me in, I'd come in and eat supper with you. You get it? It's just as out of balance. What kind of picture or what kind of model are we being of this thing of Christ? Nobody likes this type of stuff we're talking about, but this is the truth. This is the way it should be in our homes, what we should be modeling. So she has a responsibility to her husband. Let me give you another responsibility she has. She has a responsibility to her children. She has a responsibility to the children. Now, I'm going to give you another, just a thought with this. Look at John chapter number 16. John chapter 16. I thought about this years ago. And so, I'm going to give you a little bit of this thought to go with this. She has a responsibility to her children. She has a responsibility to her husband. Her husband should see her and say, that's how the church is supposed to be. That's the picture we're painting. But she also has responsibility to her children. And what that should be, I'm going to give you this thought. It should be kind of like the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is in the Christian's life or in the church, how the Holy Spirit is. That's how and it'll make sense as I go with it. Look at John chapter 16. Look at verse number 7. I call the woman the Holy Spirit of the home. In John chapter number 16, look at verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, they say the next word. Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Let me tell you something about a home. You know who provides an atmosphere for the home? The wife provides the atmosphere of the home. She's at home. Listen, you know what the deal with the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is there all the time, never leaves. You know what's interesting about the home is the wife. A lot of times the wife is the one that's there with the kids more than anybody else. All there a lot of times. You tell you what, whenever I ever fell and hurt myself, I never ran to dad. Because if I skipped my knee and I ran to dad, dad would say, rub some dirt in it and go back out and play. You'll be fine. Don't you worry about it. You just get up and go. Mama would be like, oh, come here, honey. Let me kiss it. And that, you know, am I saying the truth or what? That's the truth. That's the way mamas are. All right, so the idea is when you start thinking about the home, somebody sets the attitude, sets kind of the spirit of the home. I would say if it's the Holy Spirit's called the comforter, there's somebody in the home that is the comforter of the home. And I would say a lot of times it's that mother that's in the house. She's the comforter of the home. In 1 Peter 3, you know these verses, and you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. In 1 Peter 3, it talks about the wife and the husband. And in it, it says this about her. It says, while they behold her chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning not let it be with the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. You see, the type of spirit that she can bring into the home, she can bring a spirit into the home that's either volatile and rough and angry, or she can bring a meek and a quiet conversation into the home. She can bring that. So she has a responsibility to her husband, but she has a responsibility to her children. She provides the atmosphere. Let me give you the next thing. Look at the same thing. John chapter 16. Look at verse number 8. I gave you verse number 7. She's the comforter. Look at verse number 8. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Let me tell you what she does. She protects the home. Now, the husband should be protecting the home, keeping the right things in and the wrong things out. We already said that. Nurture and admonition. That's the truth. But let me tell you something. The moms, I guarantee you this is the absolute truth. Mama can tell that something's going on with those kids long before dad's going to figure it out. Kids, you can say amen right there. That is the truth. Mama has got her finger on the pulse of everything that's going on in the house. She knows. And be honest with you, you're not going to get away with it very long. Listen, I think God had mamas in mind when he wrote the verse out, be sure your sin will find you out. Because they'll figure it out eventually. And so what it says here, the Holy Spirit is, now this is what the mom, she's the comforter of the home. She sets an atmosphere for the home. And she also is protecting the home to make sure, listen, it says convicting them and reproving them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know what mama should be doing in the home? Mama should be telling them, listen, this is not right. This is sin. This is right. This is righteousness. And this is the judgment that'll come if you don't get those things right in the home. That's what mama should be inside the home. So she's got a responsibility to her husband. She's got a responsibility to the kids. She provides an atmosphere. She protects. John chapter 16, look at verse 13. This looking at a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. I liken the Holy Spirit to the wife or the mother in the home. Verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, watch this now, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, you say, what is that one? Well, let me say this. She points to the Father. She points to the Father. Meaning, the Father is supposed to be the leader in that home. There's a lot of times in homes where the dad says, this is the way it should be. This is what we're doing. This is the course we're going. And mom says, all right, kids, dad's not here. We'll do it this way. But don't tell dad when he gets home. Right? Now, wouldn't that be a shame if the Holy Spirit came to us and said, now, this is not what God the Father wants, but we're going to do it a different way than what the Bible and God the Father wants. You would say, wrong spirit, right? It's a wrong spirit in the home, too. Those should be in unity. There should be unity in that home. You don't see any disunity between the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. It's all in unity. And there should be unity within the home when it comes to the same things. Now, I'm telling you this, and you're saying, well, this isn't the way it is in my home. My home's not perfect either. But you know what? When we see things like this, what we should be saying is, I want to fine-tune and fix the things. You say, well, I've been doing it this way for too long. I can't change now. That's a lie. The devil's feeding you. You can change. You can begin to line yourself up with what the Word of God says. She provides the atmosphere. She protects. She points to the Father. There's no disunity in the Trinity. There should be no disunity in the home between mother and father with the kids. And then the last one is, in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me tell you, she produces fruit in the home. She produces fruit in the home. She's going to be the one that's going to be doing a lot of teaching these kids and helping these kids to kind of come up the right way and bringing up some fruit in the home. That's her responsibility towards it. And I'll give you this in 2 Timothy 1:5. It says, Paul was talking to Timothy. Watch what he says. When I call remembrance the unfeigned, it wasn't fake, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now watch what he said. Where did it start though? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. You know what? Grandmama and mama had an influence on a son that ended up being somebody used pretty significantly for the cause of Christ. You have a responsibility in the home. We're a model of some things with God. And men, every one of us should have said amen to every bit of this and said, I want to start trying to get it right in my life. There's times that I mess this up. You know what I have to say? There's times, with as perfect as my wife is, there are times that we can get sideways with each other. Lest you think that I'm saying we're perfect. I'll say that. And there's times that I sometimes get mad about something, and then I'll have to think, you know what? I want the Lord to be long-suffering with me. Easy to talk to, easy to come to, showing love to me. I want that to be how she sees me. And so I'll go to her and say, I'm sorry, got kind of irritated with this, and I want to fix that. What do you need? What do you want? How can we? And you ask her, that's what we do at our house. It's not, you say, well, I thought you'd be perfect with this. No, you're delusional. I'm trying to figure this out too. But as I see the principle, I start trying to apply the principle. And that's what every one of us should be doing. And the ladies, listen, the same thing should be taking place here. And the last thing is, listen, people are watching you, ladies. When you go to the grocery store, if you work a job, wherever you do, people are watching you. You know what they're learning? They're learning about a child of God. What an obedient child of God acts like and looks like and talks like and carries himself like. Paul said to the church, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul told Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 4:11, he says, "Be thou an example of the believers." Be an example. And we're supposed to be examples. And folks, people are watching us. You men, your wives should be able to look at you and say, "That must be how Christ loves the church." Wives, your husbands should be able to look at you and say, "That's what we're supposed to be as a church towards our Christ." And folks, these children should be able to look at you and you fathers and say, "That's what the Father is like." And these kids should look at you, ladies, and say, "That's what the Holy Spirit's like." And the world should be able to look at all of us, both men and women and young people in the room, and say, "That's what a child of God looks like." And so the idea here is we are being super models. Not supermodels, but we're being super models for Christ. And we should be that way. We should be that way. You say, "What do I take from this?" Well, maybe the drawing maybe makes you think about it a little bit. That's why I was hoping maybe it would work that way. Maybe in your mind you'll get this and you'll think about it and you go home. I hope that when you go home, for years I'd come to churches and I'd sit in the pews, I'd listen to the preaching, and if the preacher was loud or he was excited, or I'd say, "Well, that was good preaching." And if he wasn't, I'd say, "Well, it was an okay service." And I judged a service off of all that, and I'd go home, and sometimes I'd go home exactly the way I came. You say, "That's a waste of coming to church." Well, you should be coming to church saying, "All right, I got something today. I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to get that thing settled. I'm going to go home and put it in practice. And I'm going to do something with it. And I'm going to be a super model for the Lord." Let's stand to our feet. We'll have the rest of this service as invitation, and then we'll do the business meeting right after that very quickly.